it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
15 minutes to four. Adam Peacock, one of the great men in Australian media. Code Sports, of course, all round good guy, says Julio De Stoop on the screen, and I couldn't agree with him more. A bit going on in the A-League. We've got through to the semi-finals, of course. We had Paul Izzo on the show yesterday. There's a bit to talk about as we say good afternoon to you, Adam Peacock.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we?
Good, thanks, Adam.
Before we get into all the other stuff, the most important thing, did I see a peacock bob up on the score sheet in the Australian Cup last night?
Yes, and it sure as hell wasn't me, Andrew.
Tell us all about the youngster.
So he's playing NPL football up here in Sydney, second tier, state-based competition, NPL 1. He's a young player. He's mainly playing in 20s, but he got called up for first grade. Came off the bench last night in an Australia Cup game, Spirit v Dulwich Hill up here in Sydney. It's a qualifier for when the A-League teams come in a couple of rounds time. And came off the bench. And in driving rain at Fraser Park, Anthony Albanese's electorate, he poked home a corner that kind of fell to his feet and scored a goal in the Australia Cup. So it was the magic of the Cup. Andy.
That is outstanding. Right. You know, the least surprising thing about that story you're telling then, Adam, is that it was raining in Sydney.
Without a word of a lie, on 75 minutes, they had to call the game because there were so many puddles on the thing. So they had to go back next week and finish the game.
Is that fair to you?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Hey, go on, Gazy.
I was going to say, Adam, I hate having to, you know, the main reason we bring you on is because it's a bad news story or what we're reading going around. And we're in the A-League finals and we're all excited about what's going on there. But this seems like extraordinary news that the clubs are going to be receiving up to $1 million less in their, let's call them dividends for want of a better word, from the APL. That's got to have a significant impact on the competition.
Yeah, so that's... To just paint the picture, Gazy, for the listeners, the centralised fund exists in AFL, NRL, pretty sure it would exist in NBL as well. So you get your TV and commercial centralised revenue, and then you distribute it amongst the clubs to help them tick over and pay for, you know, salary caps. AFL clubs, I think, get between 10 and 12 million each, might be a bit higher. NRL clubs get 17 million. In the pomp of the A-League, if you want to put it, it was a lot less, but that was the market. It was about 3.5. This season, $2 million per clubs. Next season, I was told the other day before they had a board meeting to try and work it all out, around the million mark, but they couldn't come to a decision. So they're not sure yet. Now, when you take into consideration A-League Women's and A-League Men's Club, if they run those two teams, including salaries and support staff coaching, everything cut thrown in, it's about $7 million you need. So the $6 million got to be found, as I described in the article, behind the cap.
Oh. Where did he go?
Hang on.
Oh, where did he go?
Just when we're getting to the juicy
stuff. I know.
It's
a terrible story. We were going to talk about this yesterday.
It is. And what it does, clearly it means less revenue for the clubs, and they've got to find a way to make that up in some other form.
I think we've got Adam back. You just got clipped right at the you're about to sort of land the...
Your article.
The roundhouse right.
I think they've got to make up about $6 million, the clubs. To find and run their teams if you're going to go anywhere close to getting break-even.
So where's that money going to come from? Where does it come from?
Well, the owner's pockets. They're not going to make that. They can get ticketing revenue, merchandise. The big thing is, though, for football, and this is the finishing point that I'll come to with the article tomorrow with an opinion piece, just act like every other football competition in the world that's below the top level and develop players. and sell them, because you've got a $15 billion pot worldwide per year floating around the transfer market. And Australian football, for some reason in the last 20 years, they used to do it in the NSL, tap into that transfer market, but in the A-League, they've avoided it. I don't know why. So that's the way forward. And it's a lot of work, and it's a slow dividend, because it doesn't just click your fingers happen like that, like bringing a sponsor through the door. But that's the sustainable model for the A-League.
Yeah. Well, that is true, and it might be sustainable economically, but when you think of the fans, they want to see the best talent. You develop a good kid, and you might get a glimpse of him, but when he's going to play the bulk of his career in his prime somewhere else, they might feel a little jilted, and you regard it as a development league all along. But what about they've got what they wanted, the A-League, the clubs, that is, in that they got that semi-separation from Football Australia. In hindsight, has that been a good move?
I think it was the right move, and I still maintain that. It's just the execution of how they've delivered on the promises that they made around that time, which has been way off. They gave the leadership, and a number of people I spoke to around this subject said, look, the structure is one thing. The system.
Gone again. Mm. What's that? You know what it is? It's this Sydney weather.
Mm, that's what it is.
It's the water's got into the cable optic fibres up there, and everything's being affected.
This story.
Just shut the joint down.
I've read, Andy, is Football Australia prepared to still work with the APL and help bridge that gap and find some funding for them, because Football Australia would appreciate that they need the A-League as well.
Australian sport needs the A-League.
But if you're football, if you're the FA,
yep,
you've also got the introduction of a new second division and, you know, the resources that they want to tip into that as well. Yep. So it might be some tough decisions they're going to have to make.
So I'm sure, I think we've got you back again.
Is he back?
Adam, this is all part of this sort of four-part series that you, Boz, and Robbie Slater are doing for Co Sports. I saw a bit of it the other day. Now, I don't know whether the three of you are involved in it or whether it's kind of you driving it, but as money continues to go out the door, and then we look at the diminishing likelihood of what's going to come from the next TV deal, like with the national second tier that Gazy was just talking about as you came back on, how can the game plan going forward?
Oh, that's the million-dollar question. Sorry about this phone.
No, you're right.
That's all right.
It must be Sydney weather. I don't know how, but they're two separate competitions, which is just in keeping with the dysfunctional nature of how football operates in this country, that you've concurrently got A-League competition, top tier, kind of finding itself plummeting back to earth financially, and then you've got this other one trying to get off the ground, but there's no connection between the two at the moment because they can't be promotion and relegation because the A-League's clubs are protected contractually to stay in a top division. These clubs that are coming in, they have to stump up the cash to be in this competition. FA are not going to tip in to their reservoir of revenue to run this competition. They're not in that. They'll operate it, but it'll be funded by the clubs. And the clubs know that as well coming into the second division. That's been made patently clear to them as well. So hopefully it works, because that's another development pathway for players. And again, it gets back to players. Develop players of a world-class standard. You made the point as well about, what about fans seeing players of a high quality walk out and go and further themselves? That's football. I'm sure in Norway they do get decent enough crowds that the system works. Erling Haaland is not in the Norwegian league. He's playing in the top league because he's a top player. Martin Ødegaard is playing for Arsenal. But the world goes round in Norwegian football, and they can operate that way. And the same will happen here. People will still go and watch clubs with good players, top Australian talent. No, we want them succeeding overseas. They need to go overseas so they can perform for the Matildas and Socceroos. But the A-League is the starting ground, and it has to be sustainable and exist. Otherwise, everything above it, namely the national teams, it's not going to be pretty.
Mm.
Support the shirt. That's, I reckon, what we do, and we wish our good players all the very best, as you say, when they go and take their talents to the big wide world. The pity is we've got, at the highest level of the A-League, men's and women's, we're seeing some outstanding footy being played. That's the tragedy of the whole thing here. We're not spending nearly enough time talking about that. Have you got a liking for either of the semis? Have you got a clear line in your own mind as to who progresses to the final?
Oh, really hard to line up, because Wellington have been great all season, but they kind of haven't been at this, that they don't have that notoriety of being a successful finals club, whereas Melbourne Victory do have that in their DNA, whether or not they've got the personnel, especially without Machach out. What I do know is the fellow that you had on the radio yesterday, he's in career best form, the goalkeeper. That helps.
Yeah.
So no matter how bad you're going, the 10 players, the outfield players, if your goalkeeper's playing like Paul Izzo did last weekend, you're always a chance to get through. So I'll maybe lean slightly towards Melbourne Victory in that one. The other one, I think Central Coast, but they're coming off an enormous high of winning an Asian competition. There were good news stories everywhere last night. And again, I'll reiterate, the football at the moment is not the problem domestically in Australia. It's fine. It's the reputation of it and how it's been treated by itself, by management. That is the issue. But anyway, by the by, sorry.
No, you're a good man. You're passionate and you love it. We'll be reading your opinion piece, Code Sports, tomorrow, mate. Always great to have you on the show. Adam Peacock joining us.